This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abba'am, welcome everyone. We have an amazing subject tonight, Parshas Kisisa. And just some public service announcements. First of all the Shiurim on Sefer Shemayis are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umeshpachta, Le'ilu Nishmas from Shlomo Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'ilu Nishmas from Mother Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi. The Neshama should have an Aliyah, be Melitza Yisham for their whole family, is Arbias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's class is dedicated by Yedidi Rabbi Yitzchak Yeager, the Chasheva Marbitz Torah and author of the Svarim Guidelines, in honor of his father's 6 yard set, Rav Elisha Meir ben Rav Alexander Zusha, Yudches Adar Rishon, Shabbos Parshas Kisisa. Tonight's year is also sponsored anonymously, Le'ilu Nishmas, Harav Tzvi Harish ben Rav Aaron Shmuel Kadenover. Zechasag of Rachel the Kav HaYashar, whose yard site is today. I just, the Sefer, what is it called? The Concealed and Revealed. It's going to print very soon, imminently. I was editing it today, and I learned a piece of the Kav HaYashar today. Okay, very good. Tonight's shiur is also sponsored by the wife of Reb Perach Mendel, that he may continue to have success and thrive in all of his endeavors. May he have much thriving. And Hatzlacha. And also, tonight's shiur is sponsored anonymously by somebody who chooses to remain anonymous. Okay, a few other public service announcements. So I know everybody's getting very excited about the upcoming Sefer in English, the Concealed and the Revealed, but don't forget about the Sefer in Lashon Kodesh, which you could order on our site with free delivery, rabbidg.com. And you need to have both, because there are pieces in the Lashon Kodesh that are not in the English, and vice versa, obviously. Otherwise, how could we, you know? And a few other public service announcements. First of all, we're learning Mishnah Yomis. If anybody wants to join us, we learn 2 Mishnahs a day. You could join our WhatsApp groups. You could go to our site, rabbidg.com. I believe we're finishing Peah very soon, and we start Demai sometime this weekend. Also, we're finishing, after 6 years, Mishnah Berurah. Been learning a page a day, so we're finishing Mishnah Berurah. And here's the good news. We're starting a new type of learning of Mishnah Berurah. Instead of doing a page a day, we're going to be doing a daf a week, like the daf HaShavua, similar to daf HaShavua. A little bit slower. We're going to do a full blot a week. Instead of 2.5 blot a week, 1 blot a week. Do it a little slower, a little bit more thorough. You could check out all the details on our site. Okay, Parshas Kisisa. Now, tonight's shiur has in it not only halacha and hashkafa, a few amazing adventures, and it starts in Turkey, it ends in Eretz Yisrael, but it's something that affects us all the time. We start with the comments of the Agadas Eliyahu. The Agadas Eliyahu is written by Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, the Baal Shevet Musar, who was a darshan and preacher in Izmir. He wrote many, many svarim. He wrote the Shevet Musar, Agadas Eliyahu, Minchas Eliyahu. He wrote a parish on the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar called V'loi Oid Ella. V'loi Oid Ella. And I believe he was Ashkenazi. My wife is a descendant of Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir. Anyway, he says like this. Chazal tell us about the Luchos Rishonos. We know the Luchos Rishonos were broken. Why were the Luchos Rishonos broken? Because they were given with great pomp and ceremony and great fanfare. It was like a thunder and lightning show. It was a very public spectacle. And therefore, Ayin Hara was shoylet over it. And therefore, the Luchos Rishonos were broken. However, Luchos Shnios were given bechashoy, secretly, hidden. Hashem told Moshe, "Ve'ish lo yale imach v'gam ish al yera b'chol ha'har gamat." Even the sheep couldn't watch. You know, even the sheep couldn't look. So, because it was given, it was delivered secretly and discreetly. Therefore, it was sustained. It was viable. So, in other words, Chazal tell us that the Luchos Rishonos were broken because it was very public. Ask Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, wait a second, the Torah is subject to Ayin Hara? Doesn't the Gemara say in Brachos and Dav Chaf that Yosef, because his eye was not nene from Avera of Eishes Potifera, Ayin Hara was not shoylet on Yosef. Ayin Hara was not shoylet on Yosef because Yosef did not allow his eye to be nene from an Avera. So if someone who observes the Torah is not subject to Ayin Hara, then certainly the Torah itself is not subject to Ayin Hara. If someone who keeps the Torah can't be harmed by Ayin Hara, certainly the Torah itself. So how could the Torah be broken because of Ayin Hara? But so even someone who keeps the Torah is not subject to Ayin Hara, certainly the Torah itself. So says Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, you could say that the Ayin Hara was never shoylet on the letters of the Torah. Chazal say, what happened to the letters of the Torah when Moshe broke the Luchos? They flew off. So they were preserved, they were maintained, they weren't harmed. The stone, which is not the Torah, just what the Torah was written on, the stone was broken. So Ayin Hara wasn't shoylet on the Torah. Ayin Hara made it that the document that the Torah was written on was harmed. But still, as Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, in the end of the day, soif, that's like Ayin Hara's being shoylet on the Torah. Because if Ayin Hara caused the letters of the Torah to fly off of the item that the Torah was written on, isn't that called Ayin Hara having an effect on the Torah itself? And he says, V'tzarach Yishev, it needs an answer. How could it be that the Torah itself is subject to Ayin Hara? So what we want to speak about this evening is this subject. Is it possible that a person could be involved in learning Torah, Devarim Shebekdusha, and still be subject to Ayin Hara? So the Ribbono Shel Olam led me in the way of an interesting sefer. It's very hard to read the sefer because it was never reprinted. I have a friend in Brooklyn who's reprinting all the Svarim of Chaim Falaji, but this, I guess, is on the list. Shaios HaTshuvos Lev Chaim. Now, I'll tell you a little story. This he can't make up. Maybe you could. No. This is unbelievable. So we were in Izmir not so long ago, at the end of December, I think. And one of the landmark locations, we were going to the Kever of Chaim Falaji. It turns out that it was the yard site of the son of Rav Chaim Falaji, Rav Avram Falaji. Fine. While there, I learned that Rav Chaim Falaji had other children. He had Rav Nissim Yitzchak Falaji. And we were walking around the cemetery. I was with my good friends, Shloimi Kol and Yanki Baelish. We were looking around and we saw a grave. It was covered in weeds. It was covered in dirt. We cleaned it off. We ripped off the weeds. It was the son of Rav Chaim Falaji, Rav Yosef Falaji. And it says he wrote certain Svarim, Yosef Tehilos. I'll tell you the truth. There's a site called TorahAnytime.com. You ever hear of it? Go on the site, check out Journey to Izmir, the Kever of Rav Yosef Falaji, and you'll see, we're cleaning it off. And it was a 30-second clip because I didn't know anything about Rav Yosef Falaji, but I figured, you know, we got to capture this. So for 30 seconds, I said, he was a Rav in Izmir, he's the son of Rav Chaim Falaji, and I read what it said, he's fine. I don't know anything else about him. I'm preparing, I came back from Eretz Yisrael, I need a subject for Parshas Kisisa. So I will go to Shaos HaTshuvos Lev Chaim, Rav Chaim Falaji, he's saying, you know what, for this subject, I'm just going to tell you the opinion of my son. And he copies over a tshuva of Rav Yosef Falaji. So tonight's whole shir comes from the Chidushim of Rabbi Yosef Falaji. I don't know, maybe we cleaned it up. So he said, okay, Yashar Koyach, here's a good Wednesday night shir, you know? So this is Shaos HaTshuvos Lev Chaim, Rav Chaim Falaji. It's a good one, Rav Shraga, right? It's Rav Chaim Falaji quoting his son, Rabbi Yosef Falaji. Here's the Shaila. Anyone here a Baal Tekeah? Baal Makri? Baal Lashon Hara? No, anyone, you know, we could be a Baal Shachris, a Baal Musaf, but there's some people, you know, they're like jack of all trades, and they could do everything, you know. So here's the story. There's a shul, under-equipped, and there's one guy, he's a Baal Musaf, and he's the only guy, or one of the only people who could blow shofar. Can the Baal Musaf on Rosh Hashanah blow shofar? So one chshash in halacha is, if he's going to blow shofar, he's going to get far blanchet, he's going to get all confused, and he's not going to remember where he's going to blow shofar, and then he's going to start saying, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahala V'Samecha. So we say, you know, better to get someone else to be the Baal Toikea than the Baal Musaf himself. But says Rabbi Yosef Falaji, in my opinion, even if the guy has a siddur, because nowadays we say if you have a siddur, we're not worried you're going to get confused, the Baal Musaf cannot blow the shofar. Why not? Even if he's a good Baal Tekeh, and he's an expert Baal Tekeh, and he's a great Baal Musaf. You know why? Because everybody's going to go, whoa, wow, look at this guy. He could that Musaf, he could blow shofar. Next thing we know, he's going to be juggling, he's going to be, you know, giving a drush. The guy could do everything. It's going to draw unwanted attention. People are going to ooh and ah. And it's going to create ayin hara, especially from a rabbim. And it's going to cause him danger. And he's going to be besakana. And therefore, we cannot allow him to do that. And don't say, well, he's doing a mitzvah, so it's going to protect him. No. Mitzvah, shmitzvah. It doesn't matter what he's doing. If he's doing something that's going to draw attention to himself, the mitzvah is not going to protect him, because, as we know, even the giving of the Torah did not protect the Torah from Ayin Hara. It was a major public spectacle. There's nothing more important than the giving of the Torah. Nevertheless, it was subject to Ayin Hara. Says Rabbi Yosef Falaji, look in the Chidushim of my father, Rabbi Chaim, in the Sefer Nefesh Chaim, that when it comes to the performance of a mitzvah, ayin hara is still a factor, and we do not apply shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara when you're doing a mitzvah against ayin hara. You might not, other dangers you may be protected from, but not ayin hara. And then Rabbi Yosef Falaji says, don't you remember what happened here in Izmir? There was a guy, he was 40 years old, he was in the peak of his strength, he had a voice like Pavarotti, he blew the shofar like the Kohen Gadol, you know? And he davened Shachris, and he was the Baal Koire, and he was the Baal Musaf, and he was the Baal Toikea, and everybody is, wow, the guy, he davened, he had a booming voice, and he blew shofar. They thought, you know, it was the shofar of Tchias HaMesim. And from that Rosh Hashanah and on, he became very weak, and he can no longer stand in front of the Amud and daven, and he passed away. And everybody said, it's because of Ayin Hara. Don't do too many things. What do you mean he's doing everything? What did he do? Okay. Well, we'll see if anything answers, we'll see if we come up with any answers. But so far, the guy in Izmir, though, didn't make it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you know? But how often in a chanami, right? In this Bayis Sheni, they were over 300 Kohanim Gedolim. You know, why did they die? We thought because of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the, you know, Rav says out of 100 people that die, 99 die from Ayin Hara, and one of them, the last guy, he killed himself. Whatever that means, you know, he didn't eat well or something. Now, says Rav Chaim Falaji, says Rabbi Yosef Falaji, had it been up to me, I would warn Beis Din, I would advise Beis Din to warn every Rav not to let the Shliach Tzibur be the Baal Toikea. Don't we know it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, technically a father and son can get back-to-back aliyos, or two brothers, but Ein Manichen Lai, we don't let, why? Ayin Hara. So you would think, the truth is, the poskim are not so machmer on that. It's not the biggest deal in the world. Especially Hagba Galila. And he brings poskim that say even a grandfather and a grandson. I don't think we're machmer on that, a grandfather and a grandson. And he brings proof from many poskim that in manichin loy means we're goyerin by, we scream at such a practice, and we don't allow such a practice. We're meicha against such a practice. So we see even halacha entertains. Now, and it's not only achim and ha'av. Only by yevamos do you need achim and ha'av. For ayin hara, you don't need achim and ha'av, even achim and ha'im. So the bottom line is, you don't want to have a family or a group of people draw too much attention to themselves. And certainly one person should not be the Baal Toikea and the Baal Musaf. And then Rabbi Yosef Falaji says, I saw in the Sefer Azharas HaKodesh, that even someone who speaks publicly, when he's doiresh, he has to guard himself from ayin hara. I don't know, maybe you need like a screen in front of you with a camera, that's like a protector to, I don't know if that works. But when you're doiresh barabim, you should be concerned for ayin hara. Furthermore, says Reza Falaji, I would suggest that the reason why Minog Yisrael is that when a Rav darshans, he wears a talis. Why is he wearing a talis? I was just at the Maror Sanach Pela. There was one of these Breslov guys, you know, playing on one of these simcha songs, you know. And part of the getup was he was wearing a talis. So I said, well, why is he wearing a talis? You know, it's part of the costume, right? But that guy, I understand why he wears a talis. I don't think if he wasn't wearing a talis, people wouldn't throw him a buck. You know, the talis gives it more, makes it more legit. But what does a Rav have to wear? Now you say, what Rav wears a talis? The traditional minhag, Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva, the Rabbanim always wore a talis. When I think even today, many Rabbanim wear a talis, Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva. Remember, in the Aguda, Rav Pinchas Breuer used to wear a talis, Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva. So I guess nowadays, you know, if you don't give such a good drasha, you don't have to worry about ayin hara. But that was the, what's the reason to wear the talis? Says Rabbi Yosef Falaji, it covers you. It protects you. This way people are not looking at you so much. Or you're covered in the talis. It's like a protective. And he says, well, what about the fact there's still, you know, it's not like it's over your head with, you have two googly eyes. It's not like it's a Taliban, you know. You're wearing a talis. They could still see you. So he brings a very interesting thing. He says that even if you're uncovered a little bit, in other words, people could see your face, people could see part of your body, Kabbalistically, the talis offers protection, that it protects you from ayin hara. He quotes the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Nasai. He quotes his father, Reb Chaim Falaji, in the Nefesh Chaim, that a talis creates an aura of, like a shield of Kedusha, that when you're in the talis, you're protected from ayin hara. Oh, so David's asking, so why this Baal Musaf Baal Toikeya, this multi-talented, he was l'chara wearing a talis. So I guess, you know, it doesn't help completely. If you're really drawing attention to yourself, even the talis is not going to protect you. It's like, you know, it's like when we drove to Hebron in a rock-proof vehicle. So rock-proof vehicle protects you from rocks, but it doesn't protect you from other things. You know, so the talis protects you from certain kind of ayin hara, but other kinds of ayin hara, it ain't going to protect you from. So and then he says, and my brother, Rabbi Avram Falaji, he said, maybe you could use this for some Shavuot Brachas Torah. Yeah? He says, why? Ashkenazim don't do this, but by the Sfardim, by the Chuppah, the Chasen and Kala are under the talis. Why? What's the Indian of that? Because it's a public spectacle. Everybody is gawking at the Chasen and Kala. Everybody is staring. Everybody is watching. And it could be Ayin Hara. So therefore, when you're under the talis, you're protected from Ayin Hara. So I thought maybe, you know, you ever realize in shul, anytime somebody's going to do something, okay, take out the arayin. I don't have a talis. Okay, so put on the talis. Hagba Galila, put on the talis. Mincha, well, why does the guy have to wear a talis for? It's the middle of the night. You're laying Megillas Esther, so it's in the Marav time. What are you wearing a talis for? So I thought it's Kavod Sibur. I mean, that is the simple reason, but it could be you do something publicly, you need extra shield from the Ayin Hara, you need extra protection, and therefore, perhaps, just like Rav Avram Falaji says, that's the reason why the Chasen and Kala are shielded by the talis, maybe that's the reason why somebody does something publicly, they also put on a talis. So, thank you for reminding me. So we know that Yosef, Ayin Hara is not shalet on Yosef. Why? He was given the bracha to Yosef is compared to the fish. V'yidgu laroiv bekarev ha'aretz. So fish are not subject to Ayin Hara because they're under the water. So Yosef is not subject to Ayin Hara. Also, he protected his mother, that Esav shouldn't gaze at his mother. So he's given the bracha alei ayin. Thank you for reminding me. So I would also like to suggest, you know, Luchos Rishonos were broken because of Ayin Hara. So it was done very publicly, so they were broken. Luchos Shniyos, they were not broken. Why? Because it was private. But still, you know, it wasn't a full-fledged Kabbalah Satorah. If you want a real, real good Kabbalah Satorah, what month should you pick for Kabbalah Satorah? Adar, because Adar is Mazal Adar, is Dagim. Dagim are not subject to Ayin Hara. So maybe that's why the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim, which is in Chodesh Adar and is completely not subject to Ayin Hara, maybe that's why that Kabbalah Satorah had Kiyum. In fact, we know that when there are two Adars, the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Bnei Yisaschar and the Shar Yisaschar and Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz is that Adar Aleph's mazel is Dagim and Adar Beis has no mazel whatsoever. There is no mazel from Adar Beis. That's why Hashem orchestrated it that Amalek, who came to attack Klal Yisrael on Adar Beis, they were experts in Kishuv. Hashem had them come attack in Adar Beis because Adar Beis has no mazel and therefore we were protected. So it could be Adar Beis also is not subject to Ayin Hara. So therefore, the Kabbalah HaTorah of Adar Beis of Purim was Niskayim. Okay. We're going to see. Pashtus, yeah. If you come from Yosef, you're protected from Ayin Hara. If you don't come from Yosef, beware. Okay? Now, Reb Chaim Falaji in the Sefer Nefesh Chaim, he starts off as follows. He says from the Zohar number 3 in Parshas Vayakel, and he quotes others that Ayin Hara is not Sholeit B'Makom Kadosh. So you could say in the Beis HaMikdash, Ayin Hara is not Sholeit. And any avoidas Hashem, there's no Ayin Hara. And he quotes Abar Benel, Parshas Kisisa, Parshas Bamidbar. Aye, the Luchos were broken. That's the million-dollar question. So we see that Ayin Hara is Sholeit in Davar Shebekdusha. Ayin Hara is Sholeit in a Makam Kadosh. So he says, yeah, in general, it's not Sholeit but Makam Kadosh. It's not Sholeit but Inyanei Kedusha. But that's only if the item is Kodesh Kadoshim. But when Hashem gave the Torah was Kadosh, and Klal Yisrael would have added a level of Kedusha, but the problem was that Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel. So once they sinned with the Egel, they're no longer preserved the Madrega of Kodesh Kadoshim, and they're diminished, and they're lowered, and therefore they now are subject to Ayin Hara. So in other words, essentially, inherently, Ayin Hara is not possible in Yanei Kedusha. But that's so long as that the person is observing the Kedusha properly. But as soon as a person sins, they now become culpable, they become liable, they're vulnerable to Ayin Hara, says Reb Chaim Falaji. So, had he stopped there, I would have said that if somebody is doing a Davar Shebekdusha and they're doing it properly and they're not being choite at all, so they have nothing to worry about, there's no inyan of Ayin Hara, it's only if a person sins, then they're vulnerable and they could be subject to Ayin Hara. But he quotes Rabbeinu Bechaye. Do you remember Yaakov Avinu? He was doing this whole like mystical, supernatural experiment with the sheep. And he was trying to get spotted, speckled, striped sheep. And obviously it was miraculous, but he took a stick and he peeled it so that the sheep, when they got heated up, they would see the stick and conceive similar to the vision, the image of the stick. And Rabbi Mechai says, look, the whole thing was Nisim. What's Yaakov Avinu peeling sticks for? He says that Yaakov Avinu didn't want it to look like an open miracle because otherwise there's Ayin Hara. Right, the Gemara Megillah says, Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah, after they were saved from the fire, what happened to them? We don't hear from them again in the whole Tanakh. Why? They had a runaway. Ayin Hara. They were the front page of the newspaper, and they had a skedaddle. That was the end of their careers, so to speak. So Yaakov Avinu didn't want to draw so much attention to himself, so he had a mask it in the guise of nature. By the way, Elisha told the Gehazi, he says, you're going to bring the kid to life now. Don't say a word to anyone. Don't breathe a word to anyone. Somebody says Shalom Aleichem, just ignore them. And Gehazi wasn't careful, and he told somebody about it as Ayin Hara, and the kid didn't wake up. And the Rabbi Bechai gives an astounding example. I never read the Pasuk this way. We've in the past spoke out Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. I didn't know this, Rabbi Bechai. We know that after Yehuda was born, Leah stopped having children. Vatamoid Mileda. She had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and that was it. Says Rabbi Bechai, why? Because she said, oh, hapamoides Hashem! Whoa! Na, 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 na. Thank you, Hashem. And people say, why are you thanking Hashem? Because there are four wives. Each one's supposed to have three. I had four. I got more than my share. Everyone's, oh, really? You got more than your share? Leah's big news. Everyone's talking about Leah. She's done. No more kids. Why? Because everyone's talking about her. So, because of that, she stopped the bracha. The bracha ceased. Even Yosef, that we mentioned, is not subject to Ayin Hara. Yehoshua ben Nun, who is a descendant of Yosef, in order for him not to be subject to Ayin Hara, he had to hide himself. And says Rabbeinu Bechai, what could be greater than Matan Torah itself? And yet, the Luchais were broken because they were given publicly, they were given with pomp and ceremony, and therefore they were subject to Ayin Hara, as opposed to Luchai Shniyos, V'ish Layala Imach, V'gam Ish Al Yira B'chol Ha'har. The keys? Someone else. Okay. Says Reb Chaim Velazhi, we see from here, even B'makam Kedusha, even a miracle, one should try to hide the manner with which one does it as much as possible. In other words, even though Reb Chaim Velazhi starts off that Dvarim Shebe Kedusha and Makom Kadosh are not subject to Ayin Hara, and the only time it's subject to Ayin Hara is if you do an Avera, so now you're vulnerable. Nevertheless, whatever you could do to do it in the most modest, discreet, low-key fashion, you should try to do. So does that mean that I shouldn't make a chasana or a bar mitzvah or a shalach manas? That's the talk of the town that everyone's yapping about. Of course that's what it means. That's the most basic Jewish practice, the most basic minhag Yisrael is to do everything in bedarach tznius, in the most modest, discreet way, and that includes a person's masim tovim. So basically, where are we holding? Why in the world would anybody ever want to be a bal kore, a bal tefillah, a bal tokea, a darshan, speaker? Who needs mali v'letzara zois? Here we're saying that a person should try to do things. I'll learn with a chavrusa, but that's it. Two people already. It's too many eyes. Two extra eyes on me. What do I need that for? So let's conclude with the comments of Rabbi Avadya Yosef in the Sefer Anaf Eitz Avos. We just visited him last week in the Sanhedria cemetery. So went to the kever of Rabbi Avadya and the kever of Rabbi Benzion Abba Shaul. They were good friends. They're buried in the same cemetery. And all the way in the back was the kever of the Chalban, the mystical milkman of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Anyway, says Rabbi Avadya that the Gemara Baba Metzia darshins that God will remove all sickness from you. Rav says, where sickness? There's no sickness. Ze ayin hara. Rav l'shitase. Rav would go to the cemetery. And Baruch HaKodesh, he said, 99% of people die from ayin hara. 1% kill themselves. Okay, so you say, fine. Baruch Hashem, I don't have any enemies. Everybody loves me. And I don't have to worry about ayin hara. Says Rabbi Avadya, ayin hara is not only from enemies. You have more ayin hara from friends than from enemies. Even from Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara Bracha says, Nun Chesam Abeis, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bar Yeshua were going on the way, and they met Rabbi Chanina. So they saw him, they said, we want to make two blessings on you. We want to make the Bracha, Shechalak Mechachmasai Li Reav, and Shechianu. And he said to them, You tzaddikim, you're so holy, you're so smart, I'm going to make a third bracha on you. that you're like 600,000 Jews, I'm going to make a third bracha, Chacham HaRazim. So they said, are you so smart that you could see into our souls and know that we're equivalent to 600,000 Jews? They were like startled by his wisdom. They gave him one look, and he dropped dead. Now, they weren't trying to harm him. They were just amazed by what he did. And still, the fact that he drew this attention to himself was dangerous. Or the Gemara Baba Basra says, don't make a Sefer Torah longer than its circumference. And the Gemara talks about the length of the Sefer Torah should not be longer than the circumference. And the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov managed to write a Sefer Torah, and he got it exactly that the length was equal to the circumference, and the rabbis were amazed, and then he died. So basically we see that something that amazes people and brings so much attention, zeh problem. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, you're not allowed to stand near your friend's field when it's standing in its standing grain, because you're going to be jealous and it's going to cause ayin hara. Rav Yehuda said to Ravin, Ravin, don't buy a field near the city, people are going to look at it. But on the other hand, the halacha is, many Rishonim say, that if you don't care about ayin hara, it's not going to harm you. Man delay kapid loy kapdinan. If you don't care about it, it's not going to do anything to you. Therefore, says Rav Avadi Yosef, even a darshan who speaks well, and it's fasayim, mesek fasayim, pe mapik margalis. You could have someone, he's like a master orator. Nevertheless, he should be concerned for ayin hara. And therefore, he should do the following segula. The Gemara says in Brachas, Nonhei Amad Beis, you ready for the segula? Get your hands ready, you know. Stretch. You're going to need to. It's not so easy. You'll see. You have to like manipulate your. Watch this. Someone who enters the city, they don't know who he is. And he's going to get up, he's going to daven for the Amid, and they're going to, ooh, this is a Pavarotti over here. He's going to blow the shofar, and the people are going to say, this is a May, this is like, you know. He's going to speak. In order to avoid ayin hara, take your right thumb. You ready, everyone? Follow me. Take your right thumb. Put it in your left hand. Okay? So you say, that's easy. Then take your left thumb and put it in your right hand. Okay? You put your right thumb in your left hand. And then I guess you have to... Just like this. So your right hand is holding your left thumb, and your left thumb is holding your right hand. Like this. You ready? This is what you do. And you say as follows. Ani Daniel Yaakov Benito Shifra. You say your name and your mother's name. Mizara de Yeshal Yosef Aniba. I'm from the seed of Yosef. She'ein ayin hara sheletes bay. Shenemar ben Piras Yosef. Ben Poiras Ale Ayin, Karibe Ale Ayin. Says Rav Avadya, don't be confident in yourself. You're getting up to lane, you're getting up to daven, you're getting up to speak, you take that right thumb, you take the left thumb, you put the right thumb in the left hand, not so easy, and the left thumb in your right hand. Yeah, like this. Right thumb in the left hand, left thumb in the right hand. You hold your hands together, you say, I, Pliny, Ben, Plinus, Ben your mother, Ano Mizar Shal Yosef Kasina. But Rabbi Adler says, but the thing is, I'm from Shevet Yehuda. We mean I'm from Shevet Yosef. So the answer is, we know that everybody comes from Yosef, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ga'alta Bizroya Amecha B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef Sela. So we're all from Yosef. So the question is, how are we all from Yosef? The answer is, Yaakov's our father, and Yosef bought us food. And the one who sustained you is the one who bore you. We're all considered the children of Yosef because Yosef sustained us in Egypt. Without him, we would not be... The Chidah says another pshat, because Yosef was the seed of Rachel, was the descendant of Rachel, but was in the womb of Leah. You know that story? he started out in the womb of Leah, and Dina started out in the womb of Rachel, and then they got swapped. So yeah, Yosef is Rachel and Leah. So he's got both. And the Gemara even says in Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan was very handsome, and he would sit outside of the mikvah so the women would come out and they would look at him and they would conceive beautiful children like Rabbi Yochanan. They said, Rabbi Yochanan, you're not worried about Ayin Hara? And he said, I'm not worried. Ani mizare shel Yosef Basi. Says Rabbi Avadya, therefore, mi shechanan es HaKadosh Baruch Hu loshen limudim. If you're able to speak, v'yesh lo koyach hashba lezakas es harabim, and you have the ability to influence, or you have the ability to daven for the amud, or you have the ability to blow the shofar, or you have the ability to do any mitzvah, ein lehimana mikach michshash ayin hara. You cannot refrain. You can't be a coward. Why? Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. If you do a mitzvah, nothing bad will happen to you. We just got through saying that it doesn't apply. Once you know it doesn't apply, it does apply. Lamaisa, it applies. You cannot refrain from doing it. Now, don't be arrogant about it. Don't say, I don't have to worry about Ayin Hara. No. You have to worry about Ayin Hara. And you have to do it anyway. And with the humility to know that it's dangerous. And therefore, as much as you can, do it in the most modest, discreet, low-key way without diminishing in any way the mitzvah. How you do that? That's a good question.
There's a practice of where Rav Ben will come in later. They get that.
We don't do that.
People do.
No, you shouldn't.
How do they get that? Where do they come from?
My father asked Rav Yaakov Hillel, should you tell people, my father said, should I tell people it's Avodah Zarah? And Rav Yaakov said, so tell them it's worse. It's foolish. But that's not the subject of tonight's share. Anyway, says Rabbi Avad Yosef in the Sefer Peleoyitz, he brings Ein la'adam lihimana milasois mitzvah kugayin lidroish barabim nech shashayin hara shomer mitzvah layeda davara u'mitzvah agune magna v'atzulei matzah. Now, maybe an important thought regarding this is as follows. I once heard from Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the pasuk says, "V'hatznei aleches imashem aleikecha." Be modest with God. Says the Gemara, what's an example of "V'hatznei aleches imashem aleikecha"? The Gemara gives two examples: hachnasas kala and levayas hameis. Here you have a poor kala; she couldn't pay for her wedding. So this great philanthropist, he footed the bill for the wedding. He paid $50,000 for this girl's wedding. And everybody knows. That's the example of Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Aleikecha. That's the most public thing you could possibly do. The other thing is burying the dead. I mean, this is a Meis Mitzvah. Nobody could bury the dead. The guy took the shovel. He carried the body in 90 degrees heat. He carried on his shoulder to the cemetery, buried the body, and they wrote up a story in the newspaper. What are the two examples of Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Aleikecha? Not some kind of hidden secret Maisa. Two of the most public possible chasodim that people could know about, the Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Aleikecha. Says Rav Miller, of course that's Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Aleikecha, because the Iker Mitzvah is not the performance of the Mitzvah. The Iker Mitzvah is what you're thinking at the time that you're doing the Mitzvah. If you're thinking, everybody, watch me, look what I'm doing, I'm the greatest, aren't I magnanimous? Look how wonderful I am. Look how talented I am. So then, that's considered pomp and ceremony. But the opposite of Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Aleikecha is that the thoughts should be completely L'shem Shemayim, not for any personal attention or aggrandizement. And in that case, even though you're doing the most public thing in the world, but b'machshavtoi, it's completely tsanua and discreet. So maybe that's also a oifen, that if a person performs the mitzvah with the proper mindset, the proper machshavos, despite the fact that it's public, it's still sort of protected, as the Gemara says, have a kibbol v'kayam, be humble and live. And the Gemara gives an example, you know, a dark house, if you have a dark house, the kohen can't proclaim it that it's a bayis menuga, that it has tzaras. Let's say you have a house that's so dark, and the only way to see the nega on the bayis is you have to open up the window it will never become tamei b'tzaras, because it has to be something you see with the natural eye without any exterior sources of light. So too, the Gemara says, if a person is humble and dark, then they live long without attracting attention. And we're saying that a dimension is, even if it's something which is public, but nevertheless, if in one's mind, one's kavana is not for any aggrandizement, that would be a way of, so to speak, protecting oneself. So the bottom line is, here we have the most important event in the history of the world, Matan Torah, and there was a problem. It was not Niskayim. The Luchos were broken. So apparently, as great and as important as it was done with too much pomp and ceremony. Nevertheless, Rabbi Avadya says that if a person has the opportunity to do the mitzvah, a person cannot refrain, despite the fact that it's public and there are a lot of people. So apparently, there is a way that a mitzvah could be done very publicly, and yet at the same time, without the glamour, and that would be a way to make sure it's niskayim properly. And otherwise, make sure you're covered completely in your talis, and, you know, so when by the afruf, everyone thinks the chassan covers himself in the talis because he doesn't want to get hit by the candies. But also, you know, he has a lot of attention, so especially after the aliyah, there's really a lot of eyes on him, so he covers himself. But Be'ezras Hashem, if we follow the paradigm of Luchay Shniyos, then we could be confident that the Torah will be Niskayim B'yadeinu. Have a wonderful night. Bracha v'atzlacha. Shkoyach. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.